From small-town dreamer to global icon.
She's America's sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Why does Taylor Swift inspire such devotion and criticism?
She's created a community on a scale never been done before.
Taylor on Channel 4. Stream now.
Sunday Scaries are officially cancelled. Abercrombie's new Sunday Sets collection is taking their place. Made from that iconic soft air fabric, these matching sets will give you that cozy Sunday feeling every day of the week. Start with Abercrombie's Sunday hoodie and sweatpants, then mix and match them with your entire closet. Permission to start living in sweats. Shop Abercrombie in the app, online, and in stores.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding. Charlie Puth is a melody savant, a wizard on the piano, and a master of production, which he studied at Berklee College of Music, where, full disclosure, I'm an associate professor. Puth first broke out with songs like 2015's See You Again.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
And grabbed the world by the collar with his 2018 song, Attention.
You just want attention. You don't.
Now in the rollout to his latest album, Whatever's Clever, Puth has been sharing some musical knowledge under the honorific Professor Puth. Musicologist Dr. Nate Sloan, the real professor, last spoke with Puth a year ago, but I wanted to bring Puth back to challenge him and see if he's really earned the title, and to hear about the shiny 80s sound all over his latest single, Changes. Here's my conversation with Charlie Puth. Charlie, thank you for joining me on Switched on Pop. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you for playing some piano for us.
Yeah.
You have a new song out called Changes.
Yes.
I want to take a listen to it.
Okay.
And I want to hear about some of the changes that you're going through.
Okay.
Love these speakers. I mix these speakers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
This is exactly how it should be translated.
The NS10s, right?
Yeah, these are the contemporary Aventone versions of the NS10s. Well, the famous Yamaha NS10s are out of production.
Oh, well, they sound exactly the same.
So the last that you were on Switched on Pop, you chatted with my colleague Nate about the song Hero, which in contrast is a quite sort of minimalist production. And I feel like here on Changes, everything is overflowing. There's literally like a gospel choir in the background.
Yeah.
How do you feel like this maximalist production is supporting the message of the song?
Well, this song aligns with my life right now. And before I was like, I better put a song out. And in the back of my mind, I was like, no, you don't have any idea what you're doing yet. You have no idea what's coming. You have to live life first and not rush the music. And that's how this whole album came about. I had to take a closer look at myself, and then melody happened after. So this album started from a very non-musical place.
What are the changes?
Well, the obvious changes are that I'm going to be a dad.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So exciting.
In March. But there's a lot of changes loaded into Changes. The song is actually about the end of a friendship. And it just affirms to me that like people like don't really listen to the lyrics like on first listen, like me. Like I never listen to the lyrics on first listen.
Lyrics seventh person.
Lyrics 110th for me.
They become so essential and important.
Yeah.
But it takes a second. Like I'm so brought in by melody, by hooks, by all of the little sweet ear candy and things you put in there.
Yeah.
And then it's like once the lyrics hit you, you're like, oh.
For some people, lyrics are first.
Right.
The steak is done in 3 minutes. But for me, it's like it's a really like thick cut. I can't cook. It's a thick cut of beef and like it takes time to marinate.
Yeah, right.
But the song is actually about the end of a friendship and you don't know why it ends, but it might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. You don't really know why. The song is a big question mark and Change is a very multi-layered kind of thing. Maybe that's why there's so many sounds in the song, too.
There's a growing up which is happening here, and how I heard that first line. And let me just play it for a second, actually.
There's been something in the air. There's been a lot of smaller talks. When we were younger, we would share our fears. Now we're afraid of being lost.
that verse is about that things have changed. It's not how it used to be. And you make it fun by repeating the talk in the talk in the talk. I'm sad, but am I really not?
Which is often the emotion that we have to put on when it's like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. We're doing the small talk. And you're like putting the smile on.
Yeah, it's like, did we ever know each other, really? Yeah. Yeah. But it's a happy sounding song, so it doesn't have to be all. It's not even sad. I wouldn't describe it as sad. Maybe I was wrong saying that. It's more like melancholic in a way.
Reminiscent.
Yeah.
The song leans heavily into the sounds of, I think, of like adult pop music of the 1980s.
Yeah, tape cassette in the 5 series.
Exactly.
So your car smells like spilled coffee.
Thinking Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, yeah. Lionel Richie. I think about the productions of like Hugh Padgham and Trevor Horn.
Absolutely.
The 80s have been really big recently, but maybe kind of more as like an element. I think of the maybe the snare drum and synths on Blinding Lights. Or Kiss Me More samples,
sure.
Interpolates Olivia Newton-John. But this is like, you're really going for a sound that actually I don't hear a lot today.
Well, I think anything I make is always going to be derived from something. Anything that anyone makes is going to be, whether it be the overall sound, like the lyric, it might be, there's always something to borrow from, in my opinion, that is. But I wouldn't even describe this song as a, I think it's very easy for most to like call it a complete 80s production, but I think if we were to really zoom in on it, it's almost like the point in time where producers and musicians were trying to figure out where to go in the 90s. Like, if this came out in October of 1989, and there's a brand new piece of gear and a brand new, and a 909, which I think came out in 87, but
just drum machine,
a drum machine, like new pieces of gear and Pro Tools, formerly Sound Tools. It's like you could record things even more digitally and like run them through the analog desk, and you had more headroom suddenly. There's a real difference between a 1990 record and a 1989 record, in my opinion.
So much difference of clarity.
Absolutely.
You listen to some of the records that I think this references, and you're like, oh, it feels smaller. It doesn't punch as hard. And it's just because of changes in technology.
To bring up an example, listen to Get Into the Groove by Madonna and compare it to Life is a Mystery.
Like a Prayer.
Like a Prayer. Okay. When did Like a Prayer come out versus Get Into the Groove?
So Into the Groove is 85, Like a Prayer, 1989, March 1989.
Yes, I'm right. Incredible.
So good.
Oh my God. I got like face chills. These are one of those songs that like didn't even matter what they wrote in the verse. The chorus is just so good.
I mean, it basically starts right there too, which I love.
Okay, so like copy that in your mind and then listen to Like a Prayer.
Heaven help me when you call my name.
So much wider, cleaner, crisper.
You could fit more instruments, literally, into the board. They figured out how to use the older equipment better. Changes is not like a 1981 record. It's more of like a 1989, 2026 record. Because I feel like music in 2020 sounds completely different than 2026, in my opinion.
Well, what are some of those differences?
I actually feel like things have gotten a little wetter.
More reverb.
Like there was this TikTok song in 2020. It was like, dancing in my room. I don't remember who the artist was. I remember the drums being really, really dry.
I've been dancing in my room.
Right, the artist is 347 Aiden.
And now you hear a Conan Gray song and an Olivia Rodrigo song. It's drenched in reverb because, I don't know, it's just stylistically how you get the emotion out.
Speak up, I know you hate me. Looked at your picture and cried like a baby.
What are some of the sounds of these eras that you're drawing from that are most resonant that you wanted to play with?
Oh, I mean, I think the Lynn drum is forever a staple. I was listening to New Light by John Mayer the other day, and he did a record he produced with No ID.
But if you give me
base of that, I'm assuming there's a real drum kit, probably with the room mics, and then there's a Lin kick and snare and a Lin clap. That record came out in 2019, and then you listen to what's the Prince song?
1999,
which came out in 82, and you hear the same Lin claps, just processed a little bit differently, or maybe they're not. I like hearing a song that came out in 2025 and drawing the similarities to like something that happened in the 80s. Hmm. Even records from, like, if you listen to Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart. That's going into the disco era, but you can feel the producer trying to figure out, like, we're going into a new era. Where do we go? There's all this new equipment. Are we going to use a real snare? Are we going to blend it with this new Lin thing that we just got? Like,
right.
You can feel this record going into the 90s, and I wanted changes to feel like it was going into 2026. I mean, Change is such a different record for me than Attention was, which is just no reverb. You just want attention. You don't want my heart. Maybe you just hate the thought of me with someone new. Yeah, you just want attention. I knew from the start. One of my favorite productions of all time.
I teach it. I taught it twice yesterday.
I love that song.
Well, a lot of people do. It's the ultimate example of the down chorus. It is the thing that defies all your expectations. The first time I heard it, I'm like, what?
I guess I got the idea from I Can't Feel My Face from The Weeknd.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
But I love it. But I love it. I definitely wasn't the inventor of the anticlimactic drop, but
it earns it because you're grabbing someone's attention.
Well, for a while there, a lot of songs had the anti-drop, but it was all in progressive house music.
Right.
You listen to anything from like progressive house, like 2014. There's a song called Martin Garrix Helicopter, and it's just like these beautiful synths, and then the heavy Nicky Romero sidechain, and just dry, but like also wet. But the sidechain makes it feel dry. To me, that was a big drop.
Let's talk more about some of those sounds, though, that are... So we got that Lin drum. Any other characteristic sounds of this sort of 1989, late 80s thing?
Probably, what's this called? The clave?
Yeah.
If you play at the very top of Changes.
Yeah.
It's just like a little perk. It's really quiet. You listen to Gap Band. Got the idea to put that in there from this song.
Oh.
And they would put it over the snare drum.
Right.
Isley Brothers did that a lot too. And then, of course, Nas would later sample it. Huh. And I was like, wow, a snare and a clave at the same time. I got to put a clave.
Yeah.
And my song, Boy Has a Clave, I love clave. There's a song by the DOC called Is It Funky Enough that has many claves because Dr. Dre loved putting claves on the grid.
Huh, right.
I'm going off the rail.
One of the things that makes me realize we've been living in an era of a lot of sort of dark music. A lot of, in order to make room for the vocal, oftentimes just filtering out all of the main music bed.
Yeah.
And it's underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Changes is the exact opposite. The clave is bright. Everything is forward. It's right in front of your face.
Yeah, because, and again, I'm not the only artist doing this right now, but I think it's exciting when I don't hear something And I only hear a few artists doing it. Like Audrey Hobart is making music right now that's like very in your face. The synths are like almost as loud as her vocals. She's wonderful. And being a saint is exhausting. Sue me, I wanna be wanted. Sue me, I wanna
be wanted. Sue me, I wanna be. Sue me, I wanna be. Sue me, I wanna. Very cool sounds on here. You got to tell me though about the changes in Changes.
Sure.
What's going on? What are the changes over there?
Oh, you mean the chord changes?
Oh yeah, yeah. If you have a song called Changes and you're Charlie Puth, people want to hear about the changes.
Well, it's Blood Pop is so who I made the record with is so funny because he'll be designing a game while I'm loading up sounds. Like he will have his computer here and just be literally writing code for a game like Fortnite, like his own version of Fortnite. He was like, "I'm making this game right now." He's a genius, but he'll be like, "Okay, let's get to work." So he'll put the game window over here for all the code, and then he'll pull up Ableton on the other side of his window, and he'll. Just, I think he does it on purpose so he doesn't overthink. He'll just drag and drop samples. And it was a very good, clunky start of Changes. And I heard, and nothing had velocity. It just sounded like drag and drop samples that he was like manipulating. And, and I heard that guitar. And I was like, uh-oh, needs a couple of suspended chords. The dissonance there. And then when I did that, he stood up and was like, yum. He says yum when he likes things. He stood up and... I don't know the names of these chords. I just... And then he was like, something has to change for the pre-chorus. And I love Phil Collins, obviously. And Phil always went to the minor two for pre-chorus, especially on his album, Sorry I Must Be Going.
Building up.
And Blood doesn't know the name of the chords either, but I was playing something wrong before. I was doing something lame, like... And he was like, no, it's like it needs to feel like you're not done yet. And I was like, what is feeling like you're not done yet sound like?
Ooh.
And I just started playing without a lyric written, and then I'm just mumbling things into this microphone actually. And I just instinctually was just like, in a life. And he stood up and was like, there's been some changes. That's literally how it went. And I was like, there's been some changes? We're like, yeah, you got married. There's been some changes. And I sang it like, there's been some changes. And he was like, no, do it like a 50-person choir is behind you. There's been some changes. There's been some changes. And then when I did that, we both stood up and then we wrote the whole chorus and like... one shot.
You've been working hard recently in bringing back the piano solo into pop music. I love the piano solo on this record. It reminds me... Oh, feels very in the language of like Bruce Hornsby, The Way It Is.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what we were listening to. We were listening to a bunch of stuff, but...
Those are some good changes.
I think we actually sent it to Bruce Hornsby. We sent the song to Bruce Hornsby, and he heard it and wrote an email back from our contact, and he said, this is wonderful, but I don't know what I could add to this. This sounds done, which I was disappointed because I was like, oh, I want to put Bruce Hornsby on Changes, but that was, I realized that's like true musicianship when you know when to stay back. He was like, why would I replay this piano part? It sounds done. So that was a very nice compliment from him.
Part of it is just that it captures a bit of the tone of that moment, that really crisp, bright, feels like a Yamaha piano.
You remember the what are the CDs, Enigma? It was music made to make you relax. It was like big choirs.
Oh, Pure Moods.
Pure Moods? Was it Pure Moods?
Oh, that's... Okay, Pure Moods was the...
I think it was Pure Moods. Where did I get Enigma?
No. That's the name of the record. Pure Moods was the album, the compilation album. And you're thinking of Return to Innocence by Enigma.
It's made to, like, you're driving back from work music.
Yeah.
That's what kind of kicked off this whole record. Is not a song specifically, not a Bruce Hornsby song specifically, But just the feeling of what those records did when there was a little less technology, you didn't know what 100,000 people were doing at once. When you called somebody and said, I'll be over at 8, and you were expected to go over at 8, there were no text messages. It's just, there was technology, but they were like bricks of cell phones. And
sure,
there was a bit of peace. The only peace you have now is when you don't have Wi-Fi on your airplane and you have no choice but to turn off. We also had no choice to turn off back then. And I lived through that too. But then I also saw the dawn of technology and how that affected music in a good way too. But the music I'm making now, this album, I would say kind of is turn your mind off music.
It's got that choir going.
Yeah, that choir.
People singing.
That choir came at the very, very end. It actually started out as AI. There's a program called Replay, and I sang into. I can build. I'm not the only one who can do this, but I can build out the. I start up here, changes, yeah. And I kind of manipulated my voice to sound like a lot of people in a choir. Changes in our lives, just yawn and, like, you know, make your voice a little wider. Changes in our life, and then double that, go back, and changes in our life. And then I took every mono vocal track and ran it through this choir setting, and it sounded like a choir.
Yeah.
And then we got a real choir and layered it on top of the fake choir.
Really sounds like a choir.
And I thought I was going to take out the AI choir, but it just did something. It, like, lifted a... It's like what Steely Dan used to do when they recorded a flute. They would put a little sine wave under the flute.
Huh. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's Today Explained from Vox. Maybe you've heard about the recent Republican Nazi scandal.
There is a group text chain out there from Trump's pick to lead the Office of Special Counsel. And he texted, according to Politico, that he has a Nazi streak.
He made these remarks in a chain with a half a dozen Republican operatives and influencers.
Oh, gosh, no, not that one.
With regard to the swastika thing, this happened last night. A Republican congressman, allegedly one of his staffers, had something in the background or something in a Zoom. That's what I heard.
No, not that one either. The young Republicans in the I Love Hitler in the group chat.
It's awful. It's revolting. It's disgusting. It's obnoxious.
It's also the third time in, like, 7 days. Do the Republicans have a Nazi problem? Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Bella Freud. Each week on Fashion Neurosis, I invite guests from the world of fashion, art, sport, music, and literature to lie on my couch and explore the connection between fashion and identity. This week on the show, I welcome the actor Tessa Thompson.
Sometimes while I'm tidying, I'll just put on one of the heels that I've left behind.
Mm.
And the idea of sort of like clomping around my house, sort of tidying in a heel,
yeah.
I love.
Find Fashion Neurosis on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
If it seems like AI is touching just about every part of your life these days, you aren't imagining things. It's all up in your streaming services, it's all up in your job search, and now it's even in your doctor's office.
It can perform exceptionally well, kind of almost in a superhuman way, on these specific, very challenging, complex clinical cases.
This week on Explain It To Me, when AI meets medicine.
And I think it can be potentially revolutionary and transformative for people if they use it in the right way.
And when it doesn't compute.
1 in 5, around 20% of Americans said that they had turned to a chatbot for advice that later turned out to be incorrect.
New episodes Sundays wherever you get your podcasts.
You've been showing us a lot of really fun, some really fun music. On the internet, you've been going as Professor Puth.
Yeah.
Now,
kind of dressed like it now, too.
Very handsome.
Thanks.
We want to confirm that you've properly earned this title. You know, my colleague Nate has a PhD, is a professor at USC.
Yeah.
I profess at NYU and at Berklee College of Music. our institutions have bestowed zero power upon us, but with the powers of podcasting, we want to make sure that you've passed your Switched On Pop qualifying exam.
Oh, boy. This is where I fail. I'm so bad at taking exams. I always fail tests at Berkeley. I love Berkeley, but I never did well on the tests.
Let's see if we can come out of this earning Professor Puth.
Okay.
So let's start with an easy one.
Okay.
Can you play a 2-5-1 in the key of B-flat major?
If I have enough room here. 2-5-1.
Very nice. On the little piano. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Can we go to the key of F? Another 2-5-1, but can you add a secondary dominant and a tritone substitution?
This is where you start to... So, F major. That's the 2-5-1. Now, what did you
ask
for?
We need a secondary dominant in there.
I don't know what a secondary...
Make the 2 a 2-7?
What's a 2-7?
Like a 2-dominant set. Instead of a minor, make it a...
2-5, and then...
Tritone sub down to be flat.
Bro.
Oh, okay.
No, keep this in here. I want people to know. I'm rusty. I honestly don't really even know how to write music down anymore.
Wow.
On a recent TikTok video, I wrote the actual notes of a song, like A, B, C, A.
And someone was like, you did
And someone was like, why didn't you just write the... What is it even called? Not manuscript. The
sheet music?
The sheet music. Yeah. Why didn't you just write the sheet music down? And I'm so cap. I was like, oh, well, not everyone understands that. So I actually don't know how to write it anymore.
I'm slow at transcribing. All right, let's do... So your Professor Puth series, you talk about how it's essential to have many different keyboards because they each have their own different voices.
Mm-hmm.
All right, scenario.
Yeah.
You're on a desert island.
Mm-hmm.
There is a generator that can only power... a Fender Twin Reverb amp.
Okay.
And you can choose either a Rhodes piano, a Wurlitzer, or a CP70. Which one and why?
Rhodes. Rhodes 77.
Let's hear the sounds. Those are Rhodes. Can we hear the Wurly?
The Wurly would be... It's very Bill Withers kind of lean on.
And the CP? You play totally different stuff just by the sound of the piano, and you've chosen the Rhodes. Defend your decision.
It just blends with everything better than anything. You could... there's a song called Halftime by Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
Simple, sweet guitars, humble by the bass. You can't do that with... Simple, sweet guitars. It's just... And that's because that's that kind of song, but, like, just the Rhodes...
That's your sound?
There's something, the width of it, the warmth of it, just can, it's kind of like water. It's like, it goes with everything. It's like a blue sky, if that makes sense. Because sometimes you want a cloudy sky. Sometimes you want your autumn vibe. This is like your, that's your autumn vibe. But like, this is like on Keisha Cole records. This is on Isley Brother records. This is on my records. This is on... Everybody, like,
that's New York weather for you right there.
This is New York in October.
Where we are right now. Ah, lovely.
I told you! Someone's on the phone. I told you! No muddy shoes in the brownstone.
All right, Puth the Musical coming up on Broadway. This storied New York jazz club is where you recently played a small set of intimate shows.
Yeah, that was very hard to do.
Sorry, it's a Jeopardy question.
Oh, what is Blue Note?
What is a Blue Note?
What is a Blue Note? I don't know. I'm not synesthetic, so I don't really know what colors are. Like that, the pink pop sign there, like, doesn't sound like a C major chord to me. It's just a Blue Note to me is just a place.
Oftentimes in the blues scale, guitarists especially, we'll talk about the sort of the note in between the major third and the minor third as the Blue Note, which we can't do on the piano.
See, when I hear major third, like, I have to like think, like, the major third. But like, I know what it is. It's just like, it's not as instantaneous as like calling out the chord, which is so weird for me.
Out of all of the venues that you could have played at, you could have played giant arenas.
Mm-hmm.
You chose the Blue Note, small jazz club. How come?
Because I probably won't have a chance to do it ever again. And for a small group of people to remember what they heard. That like it just won't translate in an arena. Arenas are amazing, and I'm super happy that we can play those too, but I wanted people to have a very intimate experience, and you get that by, you know, hitting the pedal and then accidentally hitting someone's Negroni. At the same time, like, you can, like, smell the food being made. Oh, like, yeah. The kitchen staff is running in between. The servers are taking everyone's orders. It's like I needed that for... I just heard you, found the one you've been looking, you've been looking for. I wish I would have known that wasn't me. This is the arena. This is the arena version of We Don't Talk Anymore. This is the Blue Note version.
Ooh. Jumping down to the roads.
Yeah, down to the roads. It just reminded me the sound matched the venue.
Story Jazz Institution. So many of the best players have played there.
Oh, and I've never been. Can you believe that?
Whoa.
I'd never been.
Transformative. Okay. What is the grooviest song in an odd meter?
Oh.
Too high, too high.
The it's on the Stevie Wonder... I know how to play the songs. I don't know the names of
Too High.
Is it called Too High? Is this a weird meter? Not really. No, this isn't a weird meter.
I mean, like 15 Step by Radiohead.
I don't know it. I don't listen to a lot of Radiohead.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, educate me.
This track. Fifteen steps. Pretty groovy.
This is amazing. I've never heard this.
Yeah, that's off of In Rainbows.
I don't literally listen to a lot of music with... I'm listening to Metallica records in my head.
Oh, like fun.
For whom the bell tolls. Dun, 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 dun. That's 4/4 timing, too. Wow, I guess I'm not really turned on by weird...
Maybe Tool, if we want to stick in the metal world.
I don't know that. What's that?
Oh, like Lateralis. This is probably elementary school on this record.
I feel like I'm turning on Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
All right, let's go.
What about Blind by Korn? Do they, like, it starts... They have like a break, and then they just come back into it. The 808.
Oh yeah.
There's an 808.
That's a cool record.
You would never expect this record to have an 808 in it.
No.
A lot of metal records and new metal records had 808s in them.
Huh.
Are you ready?
The drums. It comes right after this. 4, 1, 2, 3. That's okay. I love the drum sound on that record. It's
that's
like
fun.
It sounds like they just put up one microphone and just recorded in a garage or something.
What is formant shifting, and can you demonstrate it without the use of technology?
Formant shifting, like if my voice was like this, and you hear the overtones, and I can't do it as well, but sometimes there's an overtone that, like, someone else could do it way better, but there's an overtone that happens, and like it stereoizes it a little bit, and
it's like the shifting of the vowel placement.
Yeah, it actually. Sometimes when I'm like correcting a note that I really didn't hit, but I really like the performance.
Yeah.
If I'm supposed to be here and I'm here and I'm in the melodyne and I drag it up to here, sometimes it'll make it sound a little, so I have to go to the formant tool and bring it down here. That's
you.
The best way I can describe it.
In your Professor Puth series, you talk about tape machine sweetening in the song Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this song.
Wow,
Why does Everybody Wants to Rule the World make you feel inspired and emotional? It's because the song is pitched up with a tape machine. Back in the day, they call this sweetening the audio. You might be thinking to yourself right now, Charlie, why do people do this? I will tell you, viewer, when you speed music or tones up and down, it's scientifically proven to make you feel different emotionally. This is the tone all music is basically tuned to. But when you pitch it higher, it brings you to the love frequency.
It was pitched up. Mm-hmm. You say that it was scientifically proven to make you feel differently emotionally, that the frequency 528 is the love frequency. This idea has been wildly debunked by musicians like Ben Jordan. Is the love frequency totally baloney? What's going on?
Man, I don't know. It's whatever feels good. It's not that serious. It's just music. It's like we're the world's serious enough. We're just here to have a good time and to have a 3-minute, 4-minute, 5-minute break. I just looked it up. That's what it said that it was. I'm just trying to inspire people to make music.
Who's one of the most overlooked figures of pop history and why?
One of the most overlooked figures in pop, Rod Temperton, because Heatwave, obviously an R&B group, but he brought, I believe he was like the godfather with Quincy of bringing R&B into pop, sneaking R&B into pop. George Benson, Just Give Me the Night. And that's a pop record, but with a completely different, like a B section.
So give me the night. Give me the night.
Like you listen to You Put a Move on My Heart by Tamia.
I got a real.
I think that's how it starts.
Maybe I just want you to understand.
Ooh. Those are such Rod chords, I get little chills.
That's like, it's so lovely.
And All You Do Is Dial by Heatwave.
Heatwave.
Like a minute in.
Okay.
Baby, all you do is dial.
Same key as the You Put a Move on My Heart record, written by the same guy. R&B records, but then you listen to Thriller, which is a pop album, and it's all those same chords, but disguised as pop music. Mm. So I think he's really underappreciated.
Okay, final question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through changes.
Yes.
You're going to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sing any major key children's song in a minor key?
Oh, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. Sounds like Fiddler on the Roof. Make me happy when skies are gray. Na 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 do. Please don't take my sunshine away. And here it is, and you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
But those are good exercises to do when you're stuck on writing. Those, like, sing songs in minor keys. I'll do that sometimes to just re-inspire the brain. I feel like you have overwhelmingly passed your qualifying exam. You are now qualified to move on to the next stage of professorship, which is submitting your dissertation. The due date is going to be March 6th. You can submit whatever is clever back to our committee.
Not busy at all. But I would submit something. My lesson would be don't overthink things. I mean, you don't have to like know all the technical stuff, because people don't know all the technical stuff when they're listening to music. They just want to feel something. They want a breather from the exhausting thing that is life. We're making fantasies for people.
They want to feel the changes.
They want to feel the changes. And that's a good way to bookend it all.
Thank you, Charlie. It's been a pleasure. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Switched on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, edited by Alyssa Soap, engineered by Brent McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb, theme music by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenario of Archiris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod. Now, keen listeners who paid attention to last week's credits heard that we were going to go tit for tat this week. I think we kind of did, but you might have been expecting something else. I promise you that tit for tat episode coming up real soon. We'll be back again next week. And until then, thanks for listening.